Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You are tuning in to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Therapy in a Nutshell, and we talk about psychological issues and try to give people help. Not everybody can afford therapy. Not everybody can get to therapy. And the issues that I like to discuss are things that can give you help. You can listen to the basics of them. You can get some coping skills, and you can grow. It's really cool. So thank you for tuning in. And today we are going to be talking about a lesson that I've been teaching people in my private practice for a very long time. I'm a psychologist. I've been here in Reading for 40 years, but I've had a private practice for 30 plus years, and I love what I do. So we're going to talk about what I call the me filter. And I want to explain this to you because I see people get in the way of their own me filter. I see them take other people's me filters personally. Me filters are a big issue. And I've never heard anybody else call it that, so bear with me for a minute and I'll explain to you exactly what I mean by it. We all have a me filter. You can't go anywhere without bringing yourself. And your me filter is made up of your personality, how you view things. It's made up with who you are and who you've been throughout your life, your personal experiences develop your me filter, your traumas, your joys, all those things. So people have a me filter, which means that when something happens or when they're thinking about something or when anything occurs in their world, it has to go through their me filter. As humans, we often expect people to totally get out of the way and not have a me filter, and that is an unreasonable expectation. When we start to understand that everyone has one and we have one, then we can become more in charge of it and we can learn not to take other people's me filters as personally. So when you kind of get this concept that I'm going to teach you today, you will instantly become more developed because you'll start to see the world from a little bit of a different place that makes you easier to be around, better communicator, less emotionally attached to outcome, and not taking things as personally. So when we run into people's me filters, we tend to take them personally. We tend to think, well, if only you loved me more or liked me or respected me, you wouldn't respond like that. And that's one of the things I'm going to teach you by the end of this show today, how to get out of the way to do, because that will short-circuit you and get you all attached to your own me filter. So having a me filter is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It is just human beings and what we do. So as we bring ourselves to everything we do, and we bring our opinions and our ideas and our traumas and our joys to whatever we do, so goes our me filter. So let's talk about some of the different types of me filters, that different things that go about in your me filter and how you begin to experience other people's me filters. One of the things that we see sometimes is the person who thinks everything is about them. Their me filter is huge. So if you are tired or grumpy or you say something dumb or you're not thoughtful with your words, they're certain that it's about them. Everything is about them. Okay? So their me filter is huge. The world is about me, and it's constantly looking for what I think, my opinion, what's happened to me. It's never about you. It's always about me. Those people, sometimes we think of them as narcissistic or selfish, but I'm talking about regular old people who are pretty nice. They don't mean to be selfish or narcissistic, but they have a tendency to run everything through their me filter. For example, you say to them, "Wow, I had such a bad cold last week, and I was trying to figure out if it was allergies or what, and I just don't." And they say, "Oh, I have allergies too. Oh my gosh, you would not believe the allergies I have." And they go off on their me story. You've barely gotten two sentences out, and now the subject is turned around, and it's about them. Those people have a huge me filter, and it's very hard for them to stop and look at the world without putting it through their own personal experience or their own thoughts or their own fears or their own beliefs. So that's the person with everything is about me, and their me filter is really large. Let's look at another type of person that we see often, and that is the poor me, the victim. As soon as you're talking to them, maybe there's a problem, like you're talking to someone at work and you're saying, look, we need to do this differently, or this needs to be presented like this, or we need to go back and do this over, and all of a sudden they're in poor me. You don't like me. I didn't do it well. What's wrong? You're attacking me. I can't do anything right. And their poor me filter is large, which makes you have to walk on eggshells around them or reassure them, and it becomes about them. Then there's the bad me filter, shame and guilt. Oh, bad me, I messed up. Oh, this, I'm apologizing. Oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that. Looking again for reassurance and freedom from their blame and guilt on themselves. So their me filter's pretty big because they're constantly putting everything through the how did I mess up and should I have been better filter. Then there's the attention-seeking me filter. Look at me. You know, look what I'm doing, whether it's acting out in a negative way, trying to gain attention, or showboating, or whatever. The person who has to have the room, the people, the others, look at them in admiration. So their me filter is about looking for reassurance, looking that you're okay, looking that they're good enough. Okay? So it goes right along with that. I'm not good enough, poor me, everybody picks on me, I'm never do anything right, I have a lot of shame and guilt. And my me filter is in the way of me actually calming down and looking at the world. So then we get the kind of me filter that's very defensive, like a wall. Stay away from me, avoidance, not trusting, I'm not going to let you in close to me. Those people tend to feel angry with their me filter and defensive, and you run into their wall like you can't get through. You don't really get to see them because they have a big, huge me filter, and it's not very see-through. So it's a big, thick brick wall. Then there's the people that are sad, depressed. Their energy is really low. They kind of suck the oxygen out of the room. They suck the energy out of the room because their me filter is saying, I'm really sad. I can't handle this or this world. Then there's the people that have that kind of me filter where they're kind of arrogant, self-righteous. They have all the answers. As soon as you start talking about something, then they are going to tell you everything, how to do it differently, or they have read a book that tells you this. They tend to have all the answers because with their me filter, they want to be seen as okay and right. So those are kind of examples of how me filters can get in the way. We're going to go to break. When I come back, I want to tell you how we tend to run into other people's me filters and how you recognize when your me filter is flaring. We're going to break. We'll be back in a minute.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and and outreach to seniors, but we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about knee filters. You're listening to the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. And that was me playing didgeridoo in the beginning of that song. I love it. I look over at my producer, and his eyes are twinkling because he knows I love hearing that. And I should take a moment to thank Jared. Jared, my producer for Therapy in a Nutshell, is awesome. He makes this easy to do, and I just really like him a lot. Thank you, Jared, for all your hard work. Okay, so if you want to listen to Randy McGinnis's music, go to randymcginnis.com. Check out his 6 different CDs. You can listen to him on CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube. He has his own channels on all that stuff. His music is incredibly beautiful. Okay, we're talking about the me filter and how it can get in the way in your own development, your own self-awareness, and your own ability to be really centered and good about how you interact with people. And it's also about how you see other people and learn how not to take them personally because of how they present with their own me filter. So one of the first things I want you to get is that people have different size me filters. All right, and this is a visual that I have. It's almost like there's a big round screen in front of you. And the more developed you are, the smaller that screen is. That screen filters information coming into you and gets put through your own filter. Your filter is made up of who you are, your personality, your genetics, how you were raised, your values, your religious beliefs, your political beliefs, your traumas, your good things. Your me filter is a compilation of who you are and how you've grown and what you've experienced in this world. So when you are really developed, you'll have a smaller me filter because you're very aware of who you are and how you present to the world. You will find people that are very unaware. They will tend to think that everybody thinks exactly like them or that they're absolutely right. They might spout political beliefs and they're sure everybody in the room is going to agree with them. It's very egocentric is the big shrink word for it when you have a big, huge me filter. Like, for example, take a 2-year-old. A 2-year-old is very all about themselves. They can't really see outside their own me filter very well. If they have a tummy ache, they think the whole world has a tummy ache. So that's the egocentric me filter. Now we project that further with adults and say, how aware are you that not everybody believes like you do, that has traumas you've had, that gets the situation that you, as you see it? So the more aware you are that not everybody feels as you feel means that you're more in touch with your own me filter. Let me give you an example that people can relate to from our recent times here. We stepped into this thing that politically has been called the Me Too movement, okay, which is really ironic because the Me Too movement reminds me a lot of the me filter. So what happened was as women began to step up, mostly women, not always, but as women began to step up and talk about the sexual harassment and the sexual misconduct and the downright sexual abuse and rape and assault and molest that they suffered in workplaces and schools and in their life, when they suffered this unwanted sexual attention, whatever degree it was, they started coming up and talking about it, which is a really good thing. I am not saying that's not. As a therapist who has worked, I've worked for Children's Protective Services for many years doing sexual abuse investigation. I'm an expert witness in 4 states on sexual abuse and assault and rape. I've testified hundreds of times, dealt with hundreds and hundreds of victims of sexual assault over the years. So I am all for people speaking up about traumas they've been through and working on them. But what happened with the Me Too movement is people started to say, me too. I have been assaulted also. I have experienced that as well. Which is good too, because somebody coming forward and explaining their trauma encouraged other people to step forward and explain theirs and get help. And we begin to move into an awareness as a society that there have to be sexual boundaries, harassment boundaries, things that hurt people. Okay? So the Me Too movement was about, if you talk about a sexual assault, I'm going to tell you about my sexual assault. I'm going to say me too. Then it evolved to, if you say you were sexually assaulted and I say I was too, I will automatically believe everything you say about what happened to you. Now, from an investigation standpoint, a criminal aspect of assault, you know, testifying, court action, civil suit, criminal suit standpoint, we can't just automatically believe anybody that comes forward with a statement saying, hey, that happened to me too. Or saying we should believe everybody that ever utters the phrase, I was sexually assaulted. So the Me Too movement started to get clouded with people's own experiences. And what I saw happening was, rather than people really listen and hear what the person had to say and listen to the facts of the case, and even if it was kind of vague and they don't remember when or what happened, it's okay, we can listen to all of that. But I'm not going to take that football and run down the field with it and say, this is what we're going to do with that. I'm just going to listen and I'm going to support. The Me Too movement made people start to put what happened to somebody else through their own me filter. And sometimes they would take that from the person who was trying to get some help and turn it into their own story, their own narrative, their own trauma. So as we come full circle with this, what I want people to recognize is that when someone else's story touches your story, and you have that Me Too feeling, that's really important and it's really bonding. But it's really important that you don't automatically assume that they feel as you feel, or they were as traumatized as you were, or that they hate the person that that happened to, or that they're automatically telling the truth or remembering it correctly. That's putting it through your own me filter, where you want to say, ah, this is what that means because I've been there too. You have to remember, the world is varied. Our personal experiences are hugely diverse. And your personal experience might not be the same as my personal experience. And as we get to the end of the show today, I'm going to give you very specific skills of what I want you to do when your me filter is triggered. But the first thing I want you to get is that when you have that me too feeling, whether someone's telling you about their allergies or a dream that they had or a trauma that they went through or a divorce that's happening or their broken heart or their illness, and you have that Me Too moment, start off by practicing silence. Because the first thing we have to learn is someone else's me moment, whatever they're talking about, is not about us. Now, bonding, identifying, connecting, because their me moment touches your me filter, that's all okay. You have to be aware of it. You can't just take their thing that they're presenting and grab it like it's a ball you want to play with and run down the field with it. So we have to say that my me filter is always present. And I want you to stop right now and say, how big is my me filter? Is it huge and I can never see anyone else besides what I think or feel or what I am certain is right or my preconceived ideas or my traumas? Can I see past my own me filter? Because this is where it starts. How is our me filter? Am I aware that others do not always think or feel the same as I do? And is that bad? Or is that just how the world works? And when I hear them talking about their experiences, and I can't relate because I've never walked a mile in their shoes or had that experience, can I simply just listen and practice silence and seek to understand what they're saying without having to present me, my moment, my thought? When you can do that, and if you're getting good at that, then you're more in touch with your own me filter and not trying to make it take up all the oxygen in the room, not trying to overshadow anybody else with your own personal experience. So me filter awareness is what we're talking about first here. It's more about being self-aware. It's more about being in touch with your own me filter and trying to not let it run your life or run the conversation in the room. So the other issue is people have their own me filter, and it's not about you. It's not about me. When they are presenting their thoughts, experience, ideas, beliefs, whatever, if you stop and say they're putting it through their own me filter, and I need to respect that. I need to let them have their beliefs, their ideas. It's not about me. We tend to take people's me filters personally. If only you loved me more, you would say things like that. In this whole political climate these days, somebody will say something and someone on the opposite side of a political party will think, oh, that's so dumb or that's stupid or you're just a fill in the blank. And they will label it as something derisive and negative because they're trying to get you to change your me filter for starters. But they're also taking your me filter personally. So think about that. It creates adversarial moments. It creates a kind of arrogance where I know more than you do and I'm going to tell you how to believe or how to think. And that can be very oppressive. Because they're taking your Me Too movement personally. They're taking your Me Too moment personally, your Me filter. So we're going to go to break in just a minute. And I want you to be thinking about how big is your Me filter? Does it get in the way of you dealing with other people? Do others run into it all the time? Do you feel personally justified in expressing exactly who you are and what you do and what you think and what your traumas are, putting them out there in the room for everybody to talk about, think about? How good are you at allowing other people to have their own me filter and not taking it personally and recognizing this is their experience, their life, their views? All right, so give that some thought. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Creekside Pub and Grill is a fast and friendly casual eatery, open daily from 6 a.m. to 4 a.m. No matter what time of day or whether you're looking for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you'll find a tempting selection of food and beverages at Creekside Pub and Grill inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't forget to stop by the coffee bar for your favorite coffee specialties and infused energy drinks. Skip the line. Order your favorite eats and treats online at windriver.com and receive 10% off. Download the Wind River app.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about our me filters. In this section of the show, I want to talk about one of the me filters that is difficult to deal with, and that is when people are victims. When we feel victimized, that kind of poor me syndrome, or don't attack me, leave me alone, I'm so vulnerable and fragile. When we do that and we put that out as our me filter, we're looking for something specific from those in our world. And the victim idea, the victim mentality is something I hear about a lot. I'll hear, God, that guy is such a victim. Or, I'm dealing with this with my spouse, and he or she is a victim all the time. Everything is about oppressing him or her, and why can't they get over that? And I just can't stand it. So people are pretty aware when others have that poor me kind of syndrome and that victim. But let's look at that in terms of a me filter. When our me filter is saying, I'm a victim, poor me, don't attack me, we are trying to be safe. We're trying to tell people, tread lightly, I'm fragile, I'm dealing with a lot, and you need to take care of me and not push on me to be feeling any more than I feel right now. So it's interesting because a lot of people that do that kind of victim role are like, I do not do that. And you're thinking, yeah, you do. Because nobody wants to be seen as weak, right? None of us do. But when we are playing the victim, me too thing, when our me filter is saying, don't victimize me, don't hurt me, don't attack me, we're trying to be safe, and we're trying to make people tread lightly and push away. Let me give you an example of how I see the victim mentality a lot. I do a lot of work with affair recovery with couples, and I have a podcast called Affair Recovery and another one called Why People Cheat. They're both very popular podcasts because they help people overcome when betrayal and affairs happen. But when there's affair recovery, I often see people come into my office and one of the partners has had an affair. And I'll tell you, from my chair, it doesn't matter if that affair happened last week, last month, or 10 years ago. If it has never been dealt with and dealt with well, when they come into my office, it's like it happened yesterday. And one of the things you can count on is one of the partners will feel victimized. Now, is that bad? No, I'm not judging that. One person feels more betrayed or feel like the other person didn't honor their commitment to fidelity or their marriage vows or their, I'm never going to hurt you. I've been hurt before and I would never hurt you like I'd been hurt. And they slip up because we're human. Everybody makes mistakes. The thing I hear most often about affairs in my office is I never meant for it to happen. I never meant for anyone to get hurt. And I'd say that's a very true statement most of the time. So when the person is feeling like the spouse is hammering on them, punishing them, talking about it all the time, I hear, when are they going to let this go? when is, let's say the man had the affair, and it is not always the guy, all right? Because sometimes in a heterosexual couple, it is the female that has an affair. And we also can be talking about same-sex couples who one person has an affair. Sorry, I just hit my mic. So when that one partner has an affair, we'll say just for simplicity's sake, he has an affair, and he's saying to me, is that she ever going to let this go? How long is she going to punish me for it? Oh, I'm so tired of hearing how I hurt her. And the person feels like a total victim being punished. So the me filter on them is about, she's hurt, she's saying I'm suffering, I'm trying to deal with my anger, my hurt, my betrayal, I'm trying to put this in some kind of box that I can go forward with our relationship. She's struggling. And what he's seeing is, can't you let this go? Do we have to keep talking about this? How long are you going to punish me for it? His me filter is huge. Do you hear that? As he learns to see that the victimization he is feeling by the betrayed person is probably normal and it's part of their healing, and what if he didn't put it through his me filter? And again, we all have a me filter. So this, what I'm asking you to do is be aware, because some of it's going to go through your me filter. But let's say he were to say, look, this isn't about me. She's really hurting. She's trying to find her footing around this horrible thing that happened in our relationship. I get it that she's ragging on me, punishing me, yelling at me for what I did that hurt her. But I have to stop and say, it isn't about me. It's about what happened and how she's hurting. When that person can stop being the poor me, the victim, and saying, when are you going to stop punishing me for something that I did? It ends a whole lot faster. Now, isn't that ironic? So let's take a different example that's really similar. Your teenager's in trouble. They got caught drinking, they stayed out too late, they were drinking alcohol and driving, they put kids in the car they shouldn't have, they violated all the rules. Came home, they're in huge trouble, this is beyond just, you know, you're getting a talking to, you're grounded, your phone's taken away, you lose your car privileges, blah, blah, blah. And this is going on, you ground them for a month. And 3 days into it, your teenager is going, this is unfair. Why do you always do this to me? You know, how long are you going to punish me? Oh my gosh, did you ever do anything like this when you were a kid? And they're totally feeling like a victim. And as a parent, you're going, oh, they don't get it. This is all about poor you. You're being punished. Listen to the teenager's me filter. You are attacking me, you're oppressing me, I'm the victim, poor me, look what's happening, when are you going to stop doing this to me, don't you understand? Those are poor me, victim mentality statements. And the teenager, or the person in the fair recovery, or similar type situations, can't get outside themselves to see that the other person has feelings about what happened. So if your teenager said, hey, I'm grounded from everything for a month because I was an idiot, you know, I understand that my parents said, this is not okay, you can't do this, and I'm accepting my punishment. And when my parents talk to me about it, I'm not defensive, I'm not angry, I'm not blaming it on them. I stop and look outside my me filter and say, hey, someday if I were a mom and dad, I'd do the same thing. Now, how many teenagers actually can do that? Not too many, because not too many are developed enough to do that, right? We would hope that they keep growing up and they get more developed and they can start to see that sometimes there are consequences for their negative actions. We would hope that somebody who had an affair would stop and say, look, this is going to take as long as it takes and I can't expect you not to be mad at me. But that isn't what happens. We get stuck behind our me filter going, poor me, I'm being punished. I didn't mean it. Can't you let it go? Can't I have another chance? that doesn't garner anybody's sympathy. What really helps is when you can get outside your own me filter and see how the other person feels and why they're doing what they're doing. When you sit behind your me filter and feel like a victim and poor me, and please don't tell me any longer how I messed up. When you do that, it doesn't make the situation calm down or go away. Now, put it in any kind of situation you want, whether it's work or your kids or your partner. We feel respect for others when they can hear what our position is when we're trying to talk to them about something difficult. We lose respect for people when they can only see it through their own me filter. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't set boundaries, that you don't get to have an opinion, you don't get to express yourself. You do. But I've said it lots of times on this show. If we seek to understand before we seek to be understood, then all of a sudden we have to set our me filter aside and we have to see where you are coming from, the person who's talking to us. What are you trying to tell me? Did I hurt you? Did I do something wrong? Did I break a rule? What are you telling me that I need to hear? And I want to fully understand what you're saying to me before I mobilize my own me filter and say, well, I have an opinion or a thought about that, or I have other facts that I'd like to present. Whatever is behind your me filter, that's okay. Let's say that they're talking to you about something they've experienced and it pushes your trauma buttons. You recognize that it's triggering your me filter and that you're saying, wow, I was raped also, or I had a bad sexual harassment experience, or yeah, I had somebody cheat on me and break my heart. So when they're talking about their situation and you can relate, you're a me too person for that situation, seek to understand what they are saying. And don't just offer up your Me Too experience and take over the floor, okay? I want you to think about it concretely as a ball, like a football. They're showing you a football, and they're being vulnerable, and they're telling you about an experience they've had or something they've felt or a trauma they've had. If you take that football and say, oh, I'm going to tell you about mine, and you run down the field with it and you leave them back there just standing there empty-handed, your me filter has gotten in the way of the conversation, and you are unaware of how you took over the conversation. So one of the secrets is, what is my me filter doing? How am I accepting what's happening coming toward me? Am I feeling victimized, or poor me, or can't you leave me alone, or can't you let this go and let it all be behind you? Put all that away for a minute. Step outside from behind your me filter and seek to understand what the other person is telling you, rather than you needing to be a victim so they cut it out and stop. Make sense? Think about it. So as you become aware of how big your own me filter is, it gets easier and easier to make it smaller so that you can see around it and see other people. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to do this differently. Be back in a minute.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in Jefferson.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st, at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
March is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, and there is no better time to get screened than right now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Randy McGinnis playing Native American flute. Amazing, amazing flute player. Plays all over the world. Has won numerous awards. It's actually the Native American Lifetime Achievement Award for this instrument. He's been playing since he was 4 years old. He's a Cherokee native, speaks fluent Cherokee, and just an amazing person. Okay, so we're talking about the Mie filter. In this last section, I want to give you some skills to become more aware of your Mie filter. We can't fix anybody else's Mie filter. Now, what you can do is when this show goes to podcast, you can say to somebody that you love, I think we should listen to this together because we both need to work on this, which is a really nice way to get someone else to become more aware of their Mie filter without you saying, you need to work on that, which is kind of rude. Okay, so the first step is to recognize that you have a Mie filter and that everything that happens, no matter what it is, whether you're tasting a new food or going to the grocery store or talking to someone or listening to the news, it has to go through your Mie filter. And that your Mie filter is made up of your experiences, your awarenesses, your how you were raised, your genetics, your personality type, everything. Your Mie filter is a reflection of who you are. The more aware you are of what makes up your Mie filter, the more in charge of it you are going to be. So one of the first pieces of advice I want to give you is when you feel your Mie filter kind of tingling, where you're going, oh, this is bothering me, or I'm having a reaction to this, or I want to fix what you're saying, or you're touching an old trauma of mine, you're feeling your Mie filter kind of come alive and vibrating. The first thing you want to do is practice silence. You want to stop and say, what am I feeling? What is bothering me about this? Or what am I relating to? Sometimes your Mie filter is going, oh yeah, me too, I feel like that too. I love that when that happens. I love that movie. Or I hate it when I have allergies. Sometimes it's not a bad thing. And there's room for you to express your opinion. But when you're not quite sure how your Mie filter is acting up and wants to jump out in the room and fix everything or, you know, take all the attention or something, practice silence. In the practicing silence, you're going to listen. And we're going to go back to that phrase that I've given you. Seek to understand before you seek to be understood. So as you practice silence and you're aware that something inside of you is either triggered or has a response or is not relating to what the other person is saying, listen carefully and be asking yourself, how am I relating? What am I feeling? How is this triggering me or inspiring me or whatever? Just be aware so that you're not just blurting out your own Mie filter right out into the middle of the room and possibly sucking all the oxygen out of the room because now you're making it all about you. Okay. The other thing is getting in touch with your own Mie filter on the type of things you are vulnerable to. I'm very sensitive to people who, what? Who are rude, who are big and brassy, who talk about politics. I'm very sensitive to people who I don't know, something that makes you feel sensitive and alert and aware, and your me filter is kind of vibrating. When you figure out that there's something you are sensitive to in your me filter, I would want you to say, why? Because I was raised that way? Because I was victimized? Because I've experienced that before? Why? You are sensitive to some areas that people talk about. Know why. Be in charge of your me filter because you are aware of your own vulnerabilities and your own sensitivities. And then here's the really important thing. Your me filter does not define the rest of the world. It defines your world. So as we own that and we can say, wow, I tend to have a big reaction to that because, you know, or like, let me tell you an example. Somebody's talking about how they've been betrayed and their heart's been broken. Instead of you taking that football and running down the field and telling them all about the time your heart was broken, when they pause, when they finally let you talk, you might say, you know, I totally get how you feel. I've experienced a betrayal like that and it was very difficult for me. Then you have shared, you've been vulnerable, you've bonded and related, but you did not take that football, make it all about you, and run down the field with it. So I'm not saying always shut up and never talk and never share. I'm saying allow enough space for them to have their me filter and you to have yours. Which brings me to another piece of this. Their filter is not yours, and it's not about you. We try to make other people's issues, their vulnerabilities, their ego issues, their, you know, their opinions. We try to make them about us. If only you respected me more or loved me or could see that this could be hard for me or know that I might have different viewpoints than you, you wouldn't say things like that. You would take care of me because you would look outside of your me filter and see my filter and see what I need. People don't really do that, in case you haven't figured that out. But we expect them to. Now, the more developed somebody is, the more they understand that this is their perspective, their point of view, their vulnerabilities, and that not everybody else feels that way. And they give room for others to have different thoughts or opinions. When you can do that, and you can do it calmly, without an adversarial, negative, angry sort of situation, you become an easy person to be around. Because you're not taking everybody personally and not seeing them as selfish because their me filter doesn't match up with your me filter. Does this make sense? When we relax and recognize people are different, very different, then we begin to not take things as personally and not get as charged up about stuff. Okay? So what I'm saying is I want you to know what is yours and what is theirs? What part of being triggered or feeling a certain way or needing input or what part is yours and what part is their issue? And if they have an issue, do you have to fix them? You're thinking about that, aren't you? Look at the political environment in today's world. Somebody says something that someone else doesn't like, and they want to be all over it and tell you how you're wrong and tell you that you're racist or you're something or you're bad, or they want to define how the world should be through their me filter. What if they didn't? What if they let people be different and let people be who they are? And at some point in the conversation, when it's their turn to talk, they can express how they feel without the judgment and the negativity and the anger. It would be nice if we could do more of that. And I'm not saying it is always easy, because we have a tendency to make everything about us. Look what happens when let's say you're driving down the street and you're going slow for some reason, like maybe you're trying to find the address or you're trying to turn in somewhere or whatever. Or you just spilled your coffee all over your lap, something like that. And someone comes up behind you and they're honking their horn and they're flipping you off and you can see they're yelling at you in the rearview mirror. And all of a sudden you are judging who that person is. And you say a few expletives and you tell them how bad they are and oh my, you know. you are assigning who they are based on what you are interpreting their behavior. Now, what if we assume positive intention from people? Doesn't mean you get stupid. Doesn't mean you trust the whole world with everything they say and you are vulnerable and, you know, naive. But let's say the person coming up behind you, having a cow honking their horn and trying to get by you, has somebody in the front seat in labor, and a baby's about to be born in that car. Or let's say they're rushing their five-year-old to the hospital with a gash in their head. Or let's say they just got a phone call and somebody needs their help desperately. What if you take their intentions as, wow, that person needs to get around me, because that's the only thing you know for sure, instead of assigning your belief through your own me filter? So you're going to stop and look at what they're saying, what they're doing, what their behavior is, and how that affects you. That's you being aware. That's you not taking somebody personally. That's you not assigning your personal belief system to their behavior. And it's you trying to assume positive intention by somebody else's actions. All of this goes in to help you be self-aware of your own me filter. When you can do this, and you stop taking things as personally, and you bring your best self to the table, and you seek to understand before you seek to be understood, life gets calmer. We get less attached to outcome. Okay? Hold that for a second. When we take things personally, we are extremely attached to outcome. We want you to like us. I want you to like me, love me. I want you to respect me. I'm very attached to how you're treating me. My me filter is saying, if only you treated me this way, then it would mean those things, and then I could be attached to the outcome. All is good. You're not going to reject me or abandon me. So your me filter becomes about your personal safety. So let's take just a minute to briefly go over those again. All right. To become more self-aware of your me filter, and to make it smaller so that you are more developed and you can see around your me filter, you're recognizing that someone else's me filter is not about you. How big it is, how little it is, how self-aware they are is not about you. You also can recognize when they're pretty unaware of how their behavior, their attitude, their thoughts, opinions affect others, and they're spewing them out there like everyone should agree with them. Not taking them personally lets you say, that person's not really aware of how they come across. They're not really aware of their own me filter. So, you're going to practice silence. You're going to seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And you're not going to take their spouting off personally. You're going to say, okay, well, that's not about me. So, you're going to know what is theirs and what is yours. And that's not yours. So, you can practice silence. You can not engage. You can decide if it's worth a battle and stepping in with talking about your own opinion. But if you do that, you want to own it. This is how I feel about that situation. My personal opinion on that issue is this. Okay? You're owning your own me filter. You set boundaries with yourself on what you'll respond to, what you're going to be attached to with outcome, and you start to practice silence more and be calmer. This is also about loving yourself. When you know who you are, and you don't have to be perfect, and you can be triggered if you are because you've got issues, and we all do, all right? No, I haven't met anybody yet who's, like, perfectly neutral. When you learn to love yourself, regardless of your traumas, your weight, your size of your, you know, whatever, when you learn to love yourself, you relax, and your me filter becomes what it is. So I hope this has helped you today to look at your me filter and become more aware of it and do a whole lot more seeking to understand before you seek to be understood. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.